Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Global Village International Radio Show with your hosts, Dr. Douglas James Cottrell and Doug Bentley. Tonight, we celebrate Halloween, also known as All Hallows' Eve and All Saints' Eve, observed in many countries on the last day of October, the eve of the Christian feast of All Saints' Day. Many believe that Halloween traditions were influenced by Celtic harvest festivals, and others believe that Halloween began as only a Christian holiday, being the vigil of All Hallows' Day, and has been celebrated in Ireland and Scotland for centuries. We'll be taking your phone calls to hear your Halloween tales and even ghost stories at area code 718-766-4421. Now, here's your Global Village host, Dr. Douglas James Cottrell.
Welcome to the show, everyone. It's a pleasure to have you here. It's a special weekend coming up. Of course, Halloween is just after the weekend in North America, and All Saints' Day is the first day of November, so we have a kind of a squeeze play going on here between Halloween and All Saints' Day. I'm joined tonight with my good friend and co-host, Doug Bentley, and also our producer, Paul is here to help us again with Paul Hughes is here to help us again with producing a show. It's an interesting show tonight in as much as we're going to be talking about Halloween as we usually do on an annual basis. And it's up to you to call us up and give us your ghost stories, your experiences about this special time of year where we have the merging of the fantasy and the celebration of Halloween, which is traditionally a North American, I guess you could say, institution here in North America, but also it came from the UK, and it now is a blending of a celebration, and it's a question mark in the minds of some. Why do people dress up in, you know, costumes where they look like skeletons or monsters or you name it? And, of course, it's a party time. Kids are out there on the street collecting trick-or-treats. And, you know, I can remember my days when I was younger going out there, and it was kind of fun going around to the neighbor's place and, you know, getting some really neat candies at some places and some of those hard jawbreakers at other places. And then occasionally you got an apple. Okay, so call up and tell us your stories. It's a celebration of this special time where this is a merge point between the celebration of Halloween and the tradition behind it, and also, you know, the idea that in All Saints' Day, it's a special time of the year, but the merge point on this is, you know, that these two come together, these two days come together, as one looks, one is a celebration about spooks and scares, while the other is about reverence and remembrance. But at their core, both holidays deal with the same fundamental human experiences, life, death, and the unknown. Whenever we choose to confront these themes through fear or through memory, they remain an integral part of our collective consciousness. The number to call is 718-766-4421. And with that, I'm going to say hello, Doug, and hello, Paul. Welcome to the show again, Doug. I'm sure you have a ghost story or two, and Paul's standing by with his, what can we say, his intellectual stimulation of the day's events. We've had a little talk before the show, my friends. And so welcome to the show, guys. How are you, Doug?
I'm doing well, thank you. And I'm just interested in looking forward to hearing some of the scary ghost stories that people have to share with us. So,
well, maybe it's not just scary, scary ones. Maybe there's some really interesting ones out there that, you know, are kind of close to home to having an experience with a ghost person or something. We'd love to hear that. Or maybe somebody's had a past life remembrance, or maybe somebody's had a interdimensional visit, you know, perhaps from someone who's on the other side and wanting to join up. This is the time. This is the time when they can come forward, because the whole world's focused on this, you know, that after physical life kind of thing, and dealing with the spooky things in the world, you know. I was asked today, Paul, I'll ask you the same. Somebody said to me, so what's your favorite Halloween monster kind of show or story? You know, he wanted to introduce the concept of Halloween and these movies, I guess, that were, you know, thrillers or I guess they're even worse than that. The ones that scare you. Horror shows. Do you have any favorites, Paul? Anything comes to mind?
Yes. Absolutely. Well, Douglas, being a big railroad history buff, I have a favorite ghost story related to early American railroad travel. And sometime later in the show, I'll be glad to express it. It's a short story, but it's kind of spooky.
Okay.
So
we'll get through the introduction of the show, and we'll maybe take a few calls. We'll ask about the railroad spooky shows. My answer to this fellow today, but is there any favorite sort of spooky shows that wouldn't scare his son, was something along the ways. Well, I remember Abbott and Costello meets Frankenstein, and then Dracula, and then the Wolfman, and they were kind of sort of scary, but they were slapstick kind of humorous as well. And he said to me, well, because that was dating myself. I mean, whoever remembers Abbott and Costello meets Frankenstein? Oh my gosh, that was way back in the 60s or even before that. So he said to me, well, I thought I'd introduce him to, you know, the Munsters or the Addams Family. And I went, of course, those were slapstick, humorous, comedic TV series shows. And I thought, that's a nice way to introduce, I guess, young people to the concept of Halloween type monsters like Frankenstein. But it didn't come to my mind, Munsters and Addams Family. Do you remember any of those? Were those some of your favorites, Doug? I mean, the Munsters, do you remember when they first came out? They were highly criticized when they first came out. I think the Munsters were. And then when the Addams Family came out in competition, it seemed to be all the rage. Do you remember any of those shows? And were there any favorites to you?
I remember watching one or two of them, but I never got hooked on them. But I was very impressed with the acting that was in the characterizations that were going on. I thought they were, you know, very, very clever, and you might even say brilliant, some of the characterizations they had. And I think that was part of the allure of the shows, because they could easily have got very campy, but because of the acting and the characterizations, they were just added to the stories. Tremendous.
Well, that's right. They had some big names. Paul, do you remember the lady who played the wife of Mr. Munster? She was a very famous actress, and Olivia de Havilland.
I do remember her. And I'm trying
to
remember.
Yvonne DiCarlo, I think it was the name.
That's right.
She was in, she was in Moses, I think, the movie Moses. which I saw.
Say the name again, Doug.
Pardon?
Say the name. Say her name again.
Yvonne DiCarlo.
There we go.
She's a Canadian actress.
Yeah. There was a story behind that when she was first came on the set. I think some interview I read or remember, she came on the set and she was showing her costume and what she had to do and dress up. And I don't even know what, could you call her a spook or a vampirist or something like that? It's hard to say. But anyway, she was furious because she was a big name actress coming into play in this weird and wacky show. But I think over the course of the series, a lot of big names came into that show, and you're right, the acting was excellent. They played it very seriously, all their roles. I don't know, Paul, would you take if you were to have to pick between the Munsters and the Addams Family, would you have a preference?
Probably the Addams Family. I thought the range of actors that were cast in that show were really all individually very good for their roles, and I thought that it was just a good combination of different. I'm trying to remember the name of the Frankenstein role in the Munsters.
That was Car 54, Where Are You? I remember
that's
that.
Exactly, that's exactly what I was going to say, that he had been in Car 54, Where Are You? And then, bingo, he showed up in a pretty, that was a series, once he got to the Munsters, he really made a name for himself with that. So... those two shows were really, they were uniquely different, but they were also kind of serving the same audience, if you will. And both did a really good job.
They did.
I thought.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it opened it up to the spirit of Halloween, which was kind of like, a wink and a nod, a lot of tongue in cheek. And, here it was just a bunch of people who were... Halloween monsters living down the street in a haunted house kind of thing. And Herman went off to work. That's the Frankenstein monster's stage name. He went off to work at the funeral parlor of all places. They had the Munster Mobile. You remember that? It was a souped up, a vehicle that I think made all the car shows. Just an amazing array. It was so successful. And, I have fond memories of those times. And I forget they had the wife, her father was a vampire, always making up crazy things. But going back to the Addams Family, they had Cousin It, and they had I guess it was his uncle, or I remember the guy with the bald head, and he was always like putting light bulbs in his mouth that were coming on and stuff like that. Oh my God, and by the way, the actor that played Herman in the Munsters, he last role I remember him in, he played the judge in My Cousin Vinny's the movie. That was the one where, well, it doesn't matter. He played that and he did it very well, I thought. But a lovely way to address the macabre and the haunted house and the stories that would all like to scare us, So tonight, as we delve deep into the shadows and explore the spookiest holiday of the year, Halloween, it's not all that we're going to talk about. There's a parallel tradition celebrated across the ocean, and that's All Saints Day. So my friends, dim the lights, grab a cozy blanket, and let's get started with our show. First things first, where did Halloween come from? Well, the holiday traces its origins back to 2,000 years ago to the ancient Celtic festival of Shaham, pronounced Shoen, celebrated from October 31st to November the 1st. This was a time when the Celts believed that the veil between the living and the dead was at its thinnest. The festival was a way to ward off ghosts and honor the deceased. As Christianity spread across Europe, Pope Gregory III designated November the 1st as All Saints Day in the 8th century, a day to honor all saints and martyrs. The evening before that was known as All Hallows Eve, which eventually became Halloween. Why do people love to be scared, you guys? Let's talk about this. Halloween is synonymous with horror movies, haunted houses, and ghost stories. But why are we drawn to the eerie and frightening? Well, we all have our own opinions, of course, but psychologists suggest that the appeal lies in, get this, the adrenaline rush. When we're scared in a controlled environment, like being in a haunted house or some other, you know, play place, we experience a thrill without really being, without it really being any threat. It's like a roller coaster for your emotions. Does that make sense? Well, I hope so. Halloween in North America, was its roots in a Celtic and European areas of the world. It found fertile ground in North America. One of the first recorded instances of Halloween in America dates back to 1920. In Ananco, Minnesota, which claims to be Halloween capital of the world. What a title for that town. Today, it's a massive celebration featuring parades, costumes, and, of course, a lot of trick-or-treating. I wonder what they gave away back in those days. Let's see. All Saints Day has a different kind of celebration. Let's cross the ocean and talk about All Saints Day, particularly as it's celebrated in Spain and other parts of the world in Europe. While Halloween revels in ghosts and scares, All Saints Day is a solemn occasion. November the 1st, people visit cemeteries to clean the graves of their loved ones, offer flowers, and light candles. It's a day of remembrance and homage. And when I was in Poland, and I saw this for the very first time, because I was there on All Saints Day by chance, there it was. People from, I guess, every family. I looked into the cemetery, which was huge, and every single grave, for as far as I could see, every single grave or headstone had a candle on it and had flowers, and some had candy, as I recall. I thought, what a way to celebrate your mom and dad and grandma and grandpa. In the West, I don't think it's that much of a tradition that we are sort of obligated in a way to go and visit our ancestors. And I know people, when I was talking to them, I asked them about what they were doing and how they felt. And then they told me, it's a really busy day, Douglas. I said, busy? And they said, yes, you have to go from one cemetery to another, to another, to another, depending on where your relatives are at rest. And they said it in such a way, it was like, you know, I have to go here and here and here. It was like, you know, like sort of a to-do list, if you will. And I was really surprised, but they were very serious and it was a matter of fact. And I came home with a reverence and I thought we should do that here in North America. You know, the contrast of cultures at a first glance, Halloween and All Saints Day may seem worlds apart, but it's about, one is about spooks and scares, while the other is about reverence and remembrance. But at their core, as I said earlier, both holidays deal with the same fundamental human experiences, life, death, and the unknown. Whether we choose to comfort these themes through the fear or through memory, they remain an integral part of our collective consciousness. So whether you're craving a pumpkin or lighting a candle in a cemetery, take a moment to reflect on the rich tapestry of traditions that celebrate, confront and question the mysteries of life and death. Well, you know, there's something to know. There are some ghost stories that we're going to talk about. But, you know, the number to call, my friends, is 718-766-4421. And we're going to take a short break and go to a slight commercial. We'll be right back after this.
Who is God?
What's my purpose?
What do my dreams mean?
What are miracles?
What are spiritual abilities?
Was I in a past life?
Who is my soulmate?
What is meditation?
Are your thoughts racing around on what life is or how to live it? Slow down. Find answers in Dr. Douglas James Cottrell's book, Secrets of Life, now available at DouglasJamesCottrellStore.com or Amazon.
Getting beaten up in life? Reading Conversations with the Akashic Field by Dr. Douglas James Cottrell coaches you through methods of battling fear and self-doubt to gain the spiritual strength you need for defense and stamina. Tapping into an ever-present source to help you win today. Visit DouglasJamesCottrellStore.com or Amazon today for Conversations with the Akashic Field.
Welcome back to the Global Village International Radio Show with your hosts, Dr. Douglas James Cottrell and Doug Bentley. Tonight, we're talking all things Halloween, and we're taking your phone calls at 718-766-4421. That's 718-766-4421. Now, here once again is our Global Village host, Dr. Douglas James Cottrell.
And welcome back, everyone. Tonight, trick or treat and the ghost people you might meet. Let me know. Call in. And does Halloween scare you? Or is Halloween, is it an intriguing event? I know in my family, the grandkids were going around and looking for costumes. I know my children who are in middle age now are also, they dress up and they meet the kids at the door and they give out the candy, and they're dressed up in elaborate costumes. What does your costume look like? Do you have one of those paper or plastic costumes, or do you get dressed up, you know, with the robes and the helmets? A lot of people are out there now dressing up like Star Wars characters and other, you know, famous superheroes like Spider-Man and Captain America and things like that. Remember in the old days, Paul, when people got dressed up, they somehow put a sheet over their head. They looked like a ghost. They maybe wore a costume that looked like a skeleton, or maybe they wore some raggy clothes. They looked like the Walking Dead, a zombie. Do you remember those days? People go down to the store and get something at the Goodwill and rip the heck out of the costumes. Look like they just got out of that little box in the ground. Do you have any remembrance of that?
Yeah. I had a business partner. This is back in the 70s. My first business partner would spend hours. He would leave the office around noon and go home and get prepared for trick-or-treat. It was a family event. His whole family would get dressed up in these elaborate costumes. He would sit in front of the mirror putting on makeup, and every year it was a different theme. I remember one year I participated, and I was a Martian with exposed brains, and I was wearing this big sheet, and I had an antique hearing aid, and I looked very peculiar. And another year I dressed up as a werewolf, sort of a human werewolf, and I spent several hours gluing hair all over my chest and on my arms, all the way up to my neck, and then I had a mask, and my partner's mother would sit on a big throne as a witch, and the children had to come into this old Victorian house where they lived.
Oh, my God.
Lights flashing, lightning, and then we made a soundtrack in my recording studio, and Halloween sounds, and so the kids would have to walk in the front door and go up to the throne of the witch to get their candy, and many kids were pretty scared. It was the scariest house on the street, believe me.
Oh my God!
This was in Kentucky. Yeah. So, yeah, I do remember that very well, very well.
Wow. Doug, did you have any such experiences? Were you a Halloween trick-or-treater, or did you were you handing out the candy at the door, or what happened?
Well, I, as a child, I can remember only one costume. I mean, it was purchased. Because it was purchased, it was a skeleton costume. The rest of the time, we just made our own, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, that's about it. Like the pirates with bandanas and, you know, fake mustaches and things like that. Did it ourselves, made it up as we went along. So that's my memory.
Well, see that Paul's elaborate Halloween with the family with costumes and the witch sitting on a big throne doling out candy to little kids shaking in their boots. Oh my gosh.
They must have had a lot of candy left over, because I can't imagine a very young child wanting to venture into a home like that. So,
oh, no, their parents would be.
Year.
No, their parents would be prodding from the back. They'd be pushing them forward. They'd go grab two handfuls, I'm sure. What do you think, Paul? Did they shy away, or did they run up there and grab and run, you know?
Well, both. There were tears.
Oh, gosh.
Some of the younger kids really got scared. I mean, it was an elaborate production with lightning and sound effects of thunder and all sorts of clanging chains. And so, I mean, we really did it well over the – I participated 3 or 4 years we did this. And my partner, Skip, had been doing it for years with his parents. They just – it was a big deal to them. So yeah, a lot of kids looked forward to it as they grew older, but then the new younger kids in the neighborhood were scared to death. I mean, it was an interesting process watching all of that take place.
So I got to ask, after Halloween, did the kids that were scared come down the street, cross over the street, walk down the other side of the street, keeping away from the house?
Now, I thought you were going to ask, did they come back late at night several days later and get revenge? No, I don't know if kids were scared of the house every day after that, but that makes a lot of sense.
I'm sure. You know, wondering the next year, you know, like, do we go up there again? I don't know. And but, you know, wow. I never thought about that. You know, your house being toilet papered or something like that, or whatever the term is, you know. But anyway, we got a couple of people standing by here on the 773, two people. The number to call, my friends, is 718-766-4421. Let's talk a little bit about some of the ghost stories before we go to the phones. Certainly, there's a ghost story that has a timeless appeal. And it's and some of them have even become iconic tales that have captivated audiences or generations. You might recall The Legend of Sleepy Hollow. This American classic was penned by Washington Irving in 1820 and features the infamous Headless Horseman. I remember when I was a kid, that scared me. The tale is set in Sleepy Hollow, New York, and follows Ichabod Crane, a school teacher who encounters the decapitated spirit. I think that spirit was on horseback and was roaming through the woods, but the story has inspired countless adaptations and remains a staple of American folklore. Did you have that same, like, oh, my God, Ichabod encounters the headless horseman riding through? I think he was on a horse, and he had his head under his arm, if I remember seeing a Walt Disney production or something like that.
That's my memory. The only exposure to it is from Walt Disney, yes. Yeah.
Can you remember anything else? And I can't.
No, not much.
Yeah, like me, I only remember that gory scene about having this guy riding on a horse with his head under his arms. Oh, my God. Anyway,
was that nightmares. That was actually a novel that was written?
Yeah, it's you know, from 1820, yes. It was a famous headless horseman in Sleepy Hollow, New York. You know, New York's not too far away from Kentucky and Tennessee and places where Paul maybe has walked a few. Ever been to Sleepy Hollow, New York, Paul?
I've never been to Sleepy Hollow. I don't know where Sleepy Hollow, New York is. I need to look that up on the map because I remember that story from way back and never really looked to see where Sleepy Hollow is. It's a good question, but never been there.
Yeah, I can say ditto to that. There's another famous story. It's The Woman in Black, a British ghost story written by Susan Hill in 1983. The Woman in Black revolves around a lawyer who travels to a remote English village only to discover that it's haunted by a vengeful spirit. The tale was adapted into a successful stage play and later a film starring Daniel Radcliffe. A Christmas Carol, although not a traditional ghost story per se, Charles Dickens in 1843 novel features four ghosts: Jacob Marley and the ghost of Christmas past, present, and Christmas yet to come. These spirits visit Ebenezer Scrooge to teach him the error of his ways, offering a blend of the eerie and the redemptive. So I remember that as a kid. I saw the Christmas Carol in black and white, and it was later on colored, but I still prefer it to be black and white. I remember as a little kid, you know, hearing the past business partner of Ebenezer Scrooge come to visit him and the chains rattling and the warning of, you know, don't be such a Scrooge kind of guy. That one kind of scared me. How about you, Paul? Did that shake you up a little bit when you were a kid, or was it just, you know,
yep,
another movie?
I when I was a kid, I fell for some of those movies. I got scared. And, you know, as I grew older, I really thought about how funny some of those stories were. But then there were stories that weren't really funny because you never really knew whether they were real stories or whether they were, you know, fiction. And there's a lot of good ghostly fiction, if you will. So when I was young, I was fooled by a lot of that, and it got me.
I think we all were.
Yep.
Yeah.
And by the way, Sleepy Hollow is just north of New York City on the Hudson, right on the Hudson River. Maybe 15 miles north of the Big Apple. So that's interesting.
Yeah, it's a real place, obviously. Wow. I wonder, do they have any horse paths there where people ride their horses, you know?
I'd say they're all concrete today.
Oh, yeah, of course. Wow.
If they were smart, they'd have a statue with the headless horseman,
yep,
there.
I'll bet you someplace there's a museum and there's somebody who has all kinds of paraphernalia and statues you can buy and posters and all kinds of things even to this day, I'll bet. But back in the day, there was I was trying to think of some cliche, like a wagon full of posters or something like that, but and I can't think of one. You know, speaking of reality, it's another one is the Brown Lady of Raynham Hall. This is a real-life British ghost story about the ghost of Lady Dorothy Walpole, who is said to haunt Raynham Hall in Norfolk, the UK. A famous photograph taken in 1936 purportedly shows her ghost descending the stairs in this building, and it has been the subject of much debate and scrutiny over the years. I have seen the old-time photography where they had the the negative plate that they put in the camera. They take the cap off the box, and then they wait for a minute, and then they put the cap back on because the plate inside these old box cameras had a very slow, development or slow image to ingrain on the photosensitive plate. And there's a book
shutter speed.
Where,
yeah,
a big pardon. Mm-hmm.
The shutter speed of the camera was slow. That's why in a lot of old photos you see people who are slightly blurred because they moved while the shutter was staying open for a longer period of time than we are used to today.
And I heard to the opposite where people there would be pictures taken of buildings in downtown cities and there'd be no people. And that was because the people were moving around so fast, walking and driving, whatever, that they didn't show up on the photosensitive plate, I guess.
That's right. That's right. The longer you keep it open, that is correct. And I did that once, just speaking of ghosts. I'm sorry to interrupt, but it just brought this to mind. I produced the cover of a phone directory once and photographed a woman sitting at a theater organ. You know, back before we had talking movies, they would have gigantic organs in movie theaters to play music during the silent movie. Well, I was on a committee to restore a theater organ in Kentucky in a movie theater, and so I was also producing phone directory work for a company. And I staged a photo where the woman sitting at the organ was a ghost. And so what I did was we held the shutter of the camera open just long enough for her to walk in and sit down and put her hands on the keys for just a few seconds and then shut the shutter off on the camera. So what it produced was it looked like a ghost. You could see through her because she walked in while we had the shutter open already for about 20 seconds, and then she sat down. And then as soon as she sat down and put her hands on the keyboard, for just a few seconds, we shut the camera off, and we produced a ghostly image of this woman at the keyboard. So just introducing a little camera camera information there.
The tricks of the trade, as they say. Yeah. Well, this I've seen this going along the same thing. I saw there was this book produced where they had similar ghostly apparitions that looked like people, real people, but they were translucent. And in that same way, one could say, okay, that was maybe some skullduggery or a little trickery going on. But in this book, these pictures were taken with, you know, a couple's getting a formal picture of themselves as people did in the day and dressed up in their in 1800s or something like that. And they had pictures of children sitting nearby or the face of a child that had not made it, had come into the family but passed on. And there would be a round orb-like disc with the child's face on it that would appear on the father's shoulder or beside the mother's hip in different places so that it wasn't just a child's face superimposed or something like that. And the one of the amazing things about this was that some of the apparitions of people with their spouse or their parents or whatever that showed up in these pictures at random. They would only find this after the photographer developed the picture, was that some of these ghostly visitors, or shall we say, they wanted to be in the family picture or they wanted to show up in the photograph. They were deceased sometimes years ago, and no picture existed of them ever. And here they were with their picture in a photograph with their relatives or family. And also there was a picture of a group of scientists that went to New York and they were it was a convention, and there was a person somewhere at a great distance away who absolutely wanted to come to this convention. It was something really important, but he was so sick, he was delirious, and he was at home. And when the picture was taken of the group, a group photo, if you will, they were standing on a staircase, about 20 men, and somewhere in the middle of the photograph, there was this man's picture, as if he was standing there with the group, with his suit on and everything like that, but translucent. And the verification of the man not being there was that he was still sick at home in delirium and this terrible sickness where he couldn't get out of bed. Yet there was his astral body or his soul projection standing there with his colleagues. So there you go. If there's a will, there's a way. The man showed up at the convention even though he left himself at home, kind of thing. Kind of amazing story. But I have that book to this day. It was called, I forget the title, but it was a fold open book. It was, you know, an odd shaped book, almost like a pad that you would open from the top and flip over. And when I first got it, I was enthralled. Here was proof after death photography of people in times gone by. Of course, now we have pictures where people are using cell phones and digital cameras, and people are observing what the phenomena of orbs in the pictures. Sometimes they're translucent, sometimes they're geometric and they have little designs in them, and sometimes they're the size of a basketball, and sometimes the size of a golf ball, and sometimes the size of a large softball. So they're showing up to this day, but in a little bit different form. And again, I believe these are souls or are beings in the interdimensional space between heaven and earth, kind of thing. And they just want to get in the picture, or they want to, you know, for one reason or another, they could be your guiding angels or your, you know, spiritual advisors or whatever, or perhaps relatives that have gone on that just want to make it known that they're there, or maybe there's some other purpose. The number to call, my friends, is 718-766-4421. Now, as we're about to go to the phones, let us ask Paul about that famous story about the railroad that you were going to tell us about, that ghost story.
Well, the origin is a small town in North Carolina. There was a railroad conductor who was working for the newly built at the time Atlantic Coastline. Many people remember it as the ACL Railroad. And back in 1867, the railroad expanded to include Maco, North Carolina. And the conductor was assigned to the very last car on the train. And he executed his conductor duties right out of being hired to the best of his abilities. And he was, one night, something went wrong. He noticed as the train was heading down the track, his car, and he didn't know it at the time until he investigated, but the train got slower and slower, and he seemed to be hearing the pounding of the steam engine more lightly, as if it was fading away. So he went forward to see what was happening and realized his car had come decoupled from the rest of the train, and his heart kind of leapt into his throat when he saw the lights retreating in the foreground, the train disappearing into the distance. His car was then stuck on the tracks, and he knew another train was following close behind that train. And with a shout of dismay, he grabbed his signal lantern and frantically ran all the way back to the back of the car, bursting out on the track door where, you know, you open to a vestibule usually going into the next car, but he was in the last car. So he could see the next train coming toward with, you know, the headlight, by the look of it, the engineer obviously didn't realize the danger ahead of him. So the conductor leaned over the rail desperately, signaling for the engineer and the following train to stop, but the train barreled forward unabated. Joe realized, the conductor Joe, that the engineer must not have seen his waving signal light. You know, back in the days, conductors, you would always wave your lantern. It was always an oil lantern. So he kept waving the lantern frantically from side to side, shouting in vain over the huge rumbling force of the oncoming train, which, of course, would mask his shouting or anything he was trying to communicate. And with a big roar, the massive metal steam engine struck the helpless car. Joe, still at his post, was obviously trapped between the two trains, the back of his car and the front of the oncoming engine. The signal lantern flew out of his hand. He was the only fatality in the railway accident that night. He had gotten some of the passengers to get off at the front of the train and get over on the side of the track. Shortly after the train accident, the Mako, North Carolina light began to appear on the tracks near the station. People traveling on the train or crossing the tracks at Mako would report a light shining, some people stopping thinking a train was coming, and it never did. It was always in the distance when no train was due. The light would appear as a small ball far down the tracks and then would come closer and closer to the observer until it was the size of a lantern, and people reported that the light moved back and forth frantically as if it were signaling a train to stop, just as Joe Baldwin, the conductor, had done the night of the accident. So the phenomenon became so common that the Atlantic Coastline Railroad ordered their engineers not to stop for the light if they saw it, which became a danger in and of itself. As they were approaching Mako, folks believed it was the spirit of Joe Baldwin, the conductor, desperately replaying his final moments over and over again, trying to get the following train to stop before it hit his helpless car. I didn't mention that they recovered Joe's body except for his head was never found. So if that's wow. ghostly enough, it's a story that I've heard originally many, many years ago, and then I've seen it in a couple of publications since then. So it's a well-known old 1800s ghost story. So there you have it.
Wow, that's an amazing and the verification is that the train companies took it so serious to say, when you see this light, don't pay any attention to it. My
yep,
gosh.
That's right.
You know, oh, well said. Yep. Well, let's go to the phones now. We have some people in the 773 and the 914. And, I'll just go over here and I'll hopefully the mic, everything seems to be working very well tonight. We'll try the screening room as a test a little bit later, everybody. But let's say, hello, you're on the air. Can you hear me? You're on the air. Carol, is that you in the 773? You're on the air.
You're talking to me?
I am, yes.
Okay. Your name is Carol, yes.
Oh, I didn't know it was on this early. One of the things that scared me was the Carrie movie. And when she... One of the scenes where when she had died and then her hand came out of the grave. I mean, it scared everybody in the show at that time. I mean, everybody was screaming. That's one
what
of my
movie was that? Well,
Carrie.
What was the movie?
Carrie, C-A-R-R-I-E.
I'm sorry, Carol, I don't recall that. Paul, Doug, do you remember that movie?
You remember the, what was her name?
Yeah.
Kid. Oh, boy, I can't think of her name right now. But that
That's
was a
okay.
scary movie.
She was...
Not recalling it.
She was let me see. Able to manipulate and move objects at will. Could she not, if I remember correctly?
Yeah, she had telekinesis. She
telekinesis.
Could do telekinesis.
Yes.
Yes. Let me see who was in it. I'm gonna have to see.
So what scared you about that?
She was. Go ahead.
When she died and she was in the grave and her hand just came out of the grave during the movie.
Oh gosh. Was she a zombie after that or what?
And you know, this one was Sissy Spacek was in that movie. Sissy Spacek was in that movie. She was the star in it.
Okay. I don't recall the movie, but I can see the hand coming up out of the ground. Like, what, that was at the end of the movie to say that she was still alive?
Yes.
Is that how it ended?
It terrified everybody. Because she was going to the prom in the end. She was going to the prom with this guy, and they were making fun of her. And her mother was very religious, and her mother would tell her, oh, they're going to make fun of you, and they're going to do this. And her mother would have her go in the closet and pray. And when they threw some blood on her head, and then she started, you know, using her telekinesis powers to tear up the prom place. She just tore it up, and it was scary.
With her mind, she was causing
her
mayhem.
Mind.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's a Halloween movie.
Was John Travolta in that movie too? I seem to maybe I don't know.
No, he wasn't in that movie. It wasn't John Travolta.
Mm-mm. All right.
Well, Sissy Spacek, that's the main character I remember being in there. And another thing about the Addams Family and the Munsters, they only stayed on like 2 seasons. And now it's a cult, you know. But they only stayed on 2 seasons. You talk about good. That was both of those were good and scary at times and funny.
Mm. Well, yeah, there was the well-written scripts. You know, it was humorous, and you know, I think the Vietnam War was on at the time, so it was a bit of a comic relief watching these ridiculous fictional characters, you know, having real life roles. I think in the Munsters, the daughter who was a blonde, very attractive young lady. She was the outcast, so to speak, in the family. If I remember correctly, she was she was normal, but everybody thought she was, in the family thought she was, you know, the poor. She was abnormal, and of course every time and every week there was always when somebody would come to the Munsters' home, you know, to fix the plumbing or to do something, they would end up meeting the Munster family and running out the door. I think it was the Addams Family, Paul or Carol, maybe remember, where they had a dragon under the staircase. Do you remember that? They opened the staircase up and there was...
That's
like,
the Addams Family, I think.
Yeah.
That's
mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. For some reason, that just popped in my head now. Wow.
They were something else. Ooh, they were something else. I'm trying to find the way I'm trying to find this... theme song. They were something else, and it only lasted because the ratings started dropping, and it's a cult now, and just
mm-hmm.
like what's his name, Kolchak. What is? Oh boy, he did these vampires.
Well, can't recall that.
Yes, you do. You gotta have it. Kolchak. What is it? It was not Kolchak.
No, but there was TVs about the TV show for about vampires, and it was on for a while, and I remember a little bit about that. Yeah. Anyway, so do you have a ghost story to tell, Carol, or anything close to that? Whoever was in the 914, please call back. We'll get right to your call when you call back. The number to call everybody is 718-766-4421. It's Hollow Eve Blog Talk Radio Global Village Network tonight. We're trying to tune in between here and there. So call in with your stories and let us know why you think Halloween is such a special time in our heritage and in our lifestyle and the environment we live here in the West, and as opposed to All Saints Day in Europe. Go ahead, Carol. Do you have another? You have a story?
I was going to go to like Halloween, and I was often what happens is that certain people they make altars, and what it is that Halloween, it was believed that day that the souls of the dead returned to their homes. So people dressed up in costumes, and at that time they lit bonfires, I think, to ward off the spirits. So, and I know a lot of people that, you know, they create the altars of their dead ones there. So.
Well, when I was in Norway, there were huge bonfires. I mean, two-story high lumber piled up like about two stories high for these bonfires that would be lit on this All Saints Day. And I think that was the purpose was, I don't want to say what it was for sure because, you know, I'm on the air and I know somebody will correct me and say, you know, it was this or that. I don't remember, but when I was there, I was impressed that they were going to have these gigantic bonfires. They were down by the water. But it was like a huge, I don't want to say a spectacle is the word I'm looking for. And I'm wondering if that's what that was for, either to, you know, ward off the spirits that aren't wanted, but the Vikings, you know, the Viking heritage, amazing. So the same thing with what you're talking about, people would have fires to ward off or scare away spirits, I guess.
Yeah, that was the day that the souls of the dead returned to their homes, you know. So that's why the people dressed up in costumes and they lit those big old bonfires. I do know that. Yeah. If they want to correct you on that, I don't know if they will be able to.
Well, everybody's got their opinion. That's true. You know, Doug's living in the country now, and I'm wondering what it's going to be like over Camelford way, Doug. Is there any preparations for Halloween in Camelford?
Only at the stores. They have Halloween candy and they have costumes and everything like that. But it's a small town. I'm not sure that there's going to be much activity.
The houses decorated at all?
One house. No, it's massively decorated, but most of them have nothing. Maybe a pumpkin, that's about it. On my street, there's nothing, except some of them have pumpkins that they're going to put lights in at the appointed time. But it'd be interesting to see, you know. I have a Halloween, so related to Halloween, I may as well tell you it. You know, at many mansions, we would have a healing circle in the sanctum. It was a holy building. And I think one Wednesday, it was Halloween. And I looked around, and there were all these spirits around the building. I thought, what are they doing there? Then I realized it was Halloween. And so we said a prayer for them, and we sent them energy, and they all went away. So it's my belief.
You actually saw that.
It's my belief that they were just coming to help. And, you know, in many cases, I think that happens with so-called ghosts as well. Some of them are there because they're trapped and they don't realize, a lot of them, but in many cases, I think we can help them. That's just my opinion. Based on that experience, you know.
Well, again, sort of, as I said, we said earlier in the show, it was the veil was the thinnest between here and there. And it would make sense that, you know, they would be, if they have an easy or hard time, it would make sense that this is the time. Everybody's thinking about them. Everybody's talking about them.
Yep.
We're talking about it on the International Gold Village radio show. And we're recounting some famous ghost stories. So it makes sense. And by the way, go ahead, Carol.
I remember one story. A friend of mine, what happens is it was close to Halloween, I recall. And what he did was he wanted to contact Solomon. And he would, you know, he would light this candle and say these prayers every night at about 12 o'clock. He did this for months. One day he did it, and what happened is the door flew open, the candles blew out, and there was no storm or anything like that. And he ran out the house and didn't come back into the house the next day, and the door was still open. So I remember that story because he was trying to contact Solomon.
Wow.
Because he wanted all the riches and what Solomon had at the time, you know. And I remember that scared me to death because that scared him because he didn't come back in that house till the next day. Woo!
That scared for sure. By the way, we were talking about the bonfires and the lights that you were talking about. I just pulled something up here. It's the tradition of lighting bonfires on All Saints Day in Norway is a fascinating blend of religious observance and older, possibly pagan traditions. Norway, like many other countries in Europe, officially recognizes All Saints Day, which is a Christian holiday dedicated to honoring saints and deceased loved ones. However, the practice of lighting bonfires likely predates Christianity and has been incorporated into the modern celebration. Before the widespread adaptation of Christianity, Scandinavia was home to various pagan beliefs, many of which involve rituals to ward off evil spirits and to honor ancestors. Fires were often considered purifying and protective elements used to keep away malevolent spirits and invite positive energy. In the context of All Saints Day, the bonfire could symbolize the light of the saints, guiding souls through the darkness to heaven. It may also serve as a more practical purpose, providing a gathering place for communities to come together in memory of those they've lost, just as people gather in churches and at cemeteries. Well, not as common as in some other traditions or holidays, the practice of lighting bonfires on All Saints Day in Norway is an example of how ancient customs can be integrated into religious observances. It's a way to blend the honoring of saints and loved ones with older traditions that resonate with people at a deep cultural level. So whether seen as a religious observance or a secular community gathering, bonfires on All Saints Day serve multiple roles as memorials, as protectors, and as a warm center among which the community can gather. How's that for a little tradition comment on bonfires? There's something about fire, Paul, I think that people just love to gather to. You know, you get an open fire burning in a campground or some place. Sometimes they put a barrel with some wood in there and people stand around warming their hands. But there's something fascinating about fire, don't you think?
Oh, yeah. I grew up part of my life in Maryland. And, of course, it's colder. It's closer to Canada. We had colder weather. And part of the fun of winter, at least in northern Baltimore County, Pennsylvania, is gathering around a bonfire, you know, on a weekend, usually on a weekend night. And you might go sledding or tobogganing and then gather around a bonfire, maybe sip a little apple cider, hot apple cider. That's a great memory of mine. Now, yeah. I didn't associate it with All Saints Day or Halloween, but I'm sure that that's a tradition in a lot of northeastern parts of this country and most likely Canada, too.
I think you're right. The whole idea of coming together, I think that's the important thing, is coming together and sharing moments like this on special occasions, and having a hot glass of apple cider or maybe some maple syrup on the snow, you know, as they do it in Quebec, they put a little maple syrup on the snow, it hardens up and it becomes like taffy. Doug, what do you think? I mean, you know, any traditions out your way?
Not that I can think of, no, not regarding that. But in terms of the fire, that in history, that was, it would illuminate the night, and the night was always associated with negativity or evil, or and so naturally a fire would illuminate the environment, so that it was something people naturally gravitated to. Also, it would enable to protect themselves from predators and things like that. So
yeah,
there's a lot of history in fire. And yeah, it's also purifying in terms of, they use it for purifying mm-hmm. purposes in many religious ceremonies. So a lot of mysticism and a lot of history there.
Well, I have the scene as you're talking of a big cave carved out of a stone mm-hmm. wall. And I can see the orange flickering of the flames inside the cave. And right at the front of the cave door entrance, there's this big bonfire to keep out all the creditors, dinosaurs, whatever, and to keep all those people warm inside that are wearing furry clothes, you know, skins and stone axes and stuff like that. There's a race memory I think we all share if we've been around since the beginning, you know. Anyway, thank you, Carol, for being on the show tonight. We have if you want to stand by, we have another caller, and we'll see if this caller is listening, and we'll come right back to you, Carol. Maybe you have another comment, okay?
Okay.
Okay, so, Paul, I'm letting you know the buttons are working very nicely here. Let me go here in the 773 and say, hello, you're on the air. Are you wanting to ask a question or tell us a ghost story? Go ahead. You're on the air. Are you just listening?
I'm just listening. Thank you.
You don't have a scary story about a mouse in the corner or a kitty cat running around the apartment or anything like that?
No.
Okay. That's why I see a mouse in the corner. So that's my impression for tonight. Okay. Whereabouts are you, by the way? Are you in Chicago area too, Illinois?
Yes. Yes, I'm in Chicago, in the city of Chicago.
Okay. I know you you come on the show, well, you call into the show every week, I think, so thank you very much for doing that. And if you wouldn't mind doing me a favor, it would be to go to my YouTube channel and subscribe to some of the Zoom shows we have there, and also the podcast, everybody. We have the Wake Up podcast, and we also have the show here on Blog Talk. And we have also on Instagram some fascinating interviews with people of note. They're famous authors. They are people trying to change the world and make a difference. And they offer amazing sound advice, you know, whether they're giving you those motivational encouragements, coachings, stories about their own success. And almost every one of the people we've been interviewing lately has come from humble beginnings, and now they're, you know, in six and seven figure incomes. So go find out all about them on Douglas James Cottrell YouTube channel, and or listen to them on the podcast Wake Up. And if you want more information on the links to them, you can see them in the email that went out today if you got an email about the show. Or you can go to my website, douglasjamescottrell.com, and you'll find that there's some banners or links to those amazing broadcasts that we're putting out over and above the Global Village International Radio Show. So I'll turn you back here to the mute, and thank you very much for being part of the show. And keep enjoying the show, okay?
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. We're going to go to the 858 now, and we're going to say, there we go, clicking the button. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi, how's it going? This is Beto from California.
Hi, Beto. It's going well tonight. You're listening to the show. What do you think of the topic?
I like it. It's one of my Halloween is one of my favorite holidays.
And do you have a story, a ghost story, or Halloween story?
I guess it's a ghost or a demon, or I don't know. I know I mentioned it before. Of the one time I was watching a movie, and I don't know if I can say the name of the movie, but it's supposedly based on real true events. And I couldn't get the image of the demon out of my mind. And when I went home, it started messing with me. You know, I went to sleep. I laid down, turned off all the lights. I sleep in the dark. And I grabbed my phone and I threw it twice. A pretty far distance where the phone cannot fall, and fall that far from the desk that I had it on. And it at first it scared me, and then I got mad and I started cussing them out.
the ghost picked up your phone and flung it around the room. And you were scared, of course. And then you got angry and you started cursing them out, using your words. What did they do?
I guess it left. I don't know. I didn't. I just went. It got the phone and like less than a minute. I'm going to say a minute or 30 seconds. And it threw it or knocked it off of the desk twice. And I got scared. And then I got up really quick and turned on the lights. And then I got this really, really mad, like really angry, and I started cussing it out. You can just imagine the words I was using.
No, I don't want to imagine those words.
but they worked. They worked whatever you did.
Yeah. You know, Beto is now an exorcist. You know, he's a... He's able to curse out spirits, poltergeist spirits or mischievous spirits throwing his cell phone around. Hey, don't mess with my phone, you so-and-so, such-and-such, and whatever.
But you have to be really angry for them to work. That's the trick, right?
That must have been because at first I was really scared because of the movie I had watched earlier. You know, but then this anger came over me, and I just started cussing them out, and I laid back down, and I went to sleep, and you know, that was pretty much it for that.
Well, you know, this my own personal impression would be that, you know, its intention was to frighten you, and you were no longer frightened, and you were angry.
Hey, Paul, we're in the green room now. Can you hear me?
Hello?
Paul, we're in the green room now.
Hello?
Yeah, can you hear me, Paul? It's Douglas. No? Okay,
hello?
Going back.
Oh, okay.
There was a...
Hello?
I wonder
hello?
If there was a circuit out.
Okay. There we go.
Beto?
Paul?
Hello?
Yep.
I'm still on the line.
Yeah, I just put Paul and I thought I put Paul and I in the green room there for a second. But I know I put Doug Bentley and Paul in the green room. That's what I did. That's why. Could you hear Paul, Doug, by any chance?
Oh, yes, I could hear Paul, but that was it.
Okay. Well, there you go. I'm sorry,
and
guys.
We were both very frightened, so I guess you accomplished your purpose.
Yeah. So Beto was probably thinking that the spirits were coming by and we went off the air for a second there. I don't know. But so I did a little impromptu experiment. I put Doug on. I was going to put myself in there, but I put Doug and Paul in the green room. And I guess you guys could hear each other saying hello, right?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. No.
Yes.
Okay. Well, there it worked.
Yep.
The green room worked. We'll try it again during the show. But anyway, Beto, so did you get a business card and start going around the neighborhood and saying, hey, if you're having any trouble with unwanted visitors late at night, just give me a call. I'll come over and curse them out.
No.
No. What do you think, Paul? I think Beto's on to something here.
Sounds like it to me. Yeah.
That was crazy. And can I tell another quick story? It's about...
Sure, go ahead. Yeah.
Years ago, I was like 20. Every morning, something would wake me up. I was asleep, and I would feel something like at my feet, on my bed laying down, I would feel like someone would go and sit down right at my feet. And that would scare the hell out of me. I'm like, what? You know, I was like, what is that? And then I would what do you call that? Like, I don't even know what the term is, but I would be like, okay, I would sit down and say, okay, 1, 2, 3, I'm going to open my eyes to see what it was. And there was nothing ever there. But I would feel it, that it would wake me up, and I would feel like if someone was sitting at my feet on my bed. It happened like for a week or two, every day or every morning.
Was there anybody that passed away that you knew, like a relative or a friend? No?
Okay. No.
This was in your own room, in your own bed?
Yeah. And there was nobody in there.
Mm-hmm. That sometimes happens, Beto, when there is somebody who has passed away and they come to visit you and they can squeeze your hand or they can, it's just like, I call it like the kitty cat walking on the mat, across the bed. You feel that little pitter patter of feet. It feels like that where I'm describing it as something like that. And it's basically a spirit walking on sort of letting you know that they're there. But this was nobody passed away that you knew or,
I still can't think of anybody at that time.
Mm-hmm.
I can't think of nobody. But you know what did come to mind was maybe, and this is just, I don't know why. I think someone died in this house where I live, declared. I don't know if they asked or if anybody asked about. I didn't ask. I think someone died here. That's what I think.
Did that happen after you moved into the place soon thereafter, this experience?
Maybe, I'm going to say 6 months to a year.
Okay, that would be recent. And so you might have been visited by the person who previously owned the place, and they were coming in to check you out and saying, what are you doing in my house, you know? Or just to see that you were there, they could have been revisiting their old property. And sometimes I've had dreams or visions myself where I've gone back in my dream back to a property I used to own. And I could see that it was being improved or that there was an addition built to the building. And then when I actually physically drove by the place, there it was. There was the improvements that I saw. So it was kind of like my soul or my mind going back to a place I was attached to and seeing some improvement that was made there. That could be what happened to you. You have a visitation from somebody who used to live there. And fortunately, they weren't trying to evict you, and you didn't have to yell at them. So that's pretty cool.
But, I mean, if you had to, they would go for sure, knowing the power that you have, Beto. So.
Okay.
But, you know, along the same lines, I've heard stories of men and women who've lost their spouses recently, and they can feel them, and they wake up and they feel their partner beside them in bed.
Yeah,
and that's not a frightening experience. That's a very comforting experience for them.
Right.
Yeah.
And I remember even my mother
mm-hmm.
felt that, and my dad's name was John, and she was talking to him and said, John, why won't you answer? And then she realized he wasn't there.
Well, he was there, but he wasn't physically
there.
Yeah,
not in physical body anymore. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
Can I tell you one more story about, like,
Let's hang on. Let's hang on, Beto, just for a second. And okay. I'm going to mute you on because I'm having fun with the buttons that are working tonight. We're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back after this.
You're invited to embark on your own spiritual journey today by discovering the expansive works and services from Dr. Douglas James Cottrell. Elevate your being physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. Visit DouglasJamesCottrell.com. With over a dozen enlightening books and meditative audio downloads to help guide you through life's complexities. Delve deep into the mysteries of human consciousness, the future, and the spiritual realm. As the author of Secrets of Life, The Complete New Age Health Guide, Conversations with the Akashic Field, and more, Douglas opens the doors to realms most people only dream of visiting. The writings of Dr. Douglas James Cottrell are based on his unique ability to visit the Akashic Field, where all knowledge since the dawn of man is stored. You can read about the predictions, many of which have already come true, and planetary changes, health remedies, human growth are all written. Go to DouglasJamesCottrell.com and view the selections of books and MP3 audio available now. That's DouglasJamesCottrell.com. Welcome back to the Global Village International Radio Show with your hosts, Dr. Douglas James Cottrell and Doug Bentley. Tonight, we're talking all things Halloween, and we're taking your phone calls at 718-766-4421. That's 718-766-4421. Now, here once again is our Global Village host, Dr. Douglas James Cottrell.
Welcome back to the show, everyone. Should I say boo out there for Halloween and scare the heck out of everybody? And we have some ghosts in the in our show as well. You know, they crop up every now and then. What was that? Was that one of them? I mean, get out of here. Beto's here. Get out of here. What? Get out of here. Beto, tell them to get lost. Come on, go ahead. Say, get lost. Come on, tell them to get lost. Go ahead. Get lost. Tell them. Come on, you got the magic. Look out, Beto's coming. Oh, they're gone.
That was enough just to frighten them away.
Yeah, you scared them off. Look, they're almost gone. Oh, there we go. Get lost. Okay. So let's bring Carol back on. We'll open Carol's mic. And Carol, I got your mic open. You can talk. We have Paul, Doug, myself, Beto, and yourself. And so Beto's going to tell us a story. If you want to make a comment on this story, go ahead. Okay, Beto, what's this this story you have? This the next episode. What happened?
Okay, this was about 5 years ago. When we moved into this house, the neighbor across the street that had been living here their whole life, so they saw people come and go from where I'm currently living. And one time, one of the people that used to live here, you know, came to visit them, and he introduced me to the guy, and we started talking. And I don't know how the conversation or how the topic of ghosts and stuff like that came up. But he was telling me, a friend or his grandpa or somebody used to practice voodoo.
Whoa, really?
And this happened. That's what he said. And that there was a portal in one of the rooms, in the room next to mine, in the closet, that was a portal. Now, I don't know how true that is, but as he's telling me this, when I've had company and they sleep in that room, they either can't sleep or they have nightmares. and it's happened to several people. And this is supposedly true, according to him. I don't know, but if that's true, maybe that's why there's a lot, there's some sort of activity that happened here. I don't know, but that's what the guy said.
Well, heck, that's a hell of a thing to say. That there was this was next door to your room. Did I understand that correctly?
No, the room next to mine. So there's three rooms in the house. The room next to me, right next to me. The other room is across the hallway. This is right next to me.
Wow.
And then that's what he told me. That his either his dad or grandpa.
Yeah. Were there other people that actually had these negative experiences that, you know, that reported them to you, or did he just say that they were having it? You know, like people say a lot of things, but were there people actually having trouble sleeping and whatnot?
Like when I used to have company, I don't tell them anything. I don't tell them nothing. I don't tell them anything about stuff like that.
You don't
That's a
tell
smart
them
move.
Anything.
That's a very smart move. Otherwise, they'd never come back.
Well, yeah. Yeah, so people have reported that they can't sleep in that room, and if they do, they have nightmares. And it's happened to friends and family.
So maybe you ought to go into that room and do a little yelling and screaming and stomping, and what do you think? Okay, I can see you painting the walls with white paint. So maybe that's what you need to do, and it'll seal up the vibes in the wall, and by painting them, ceiling and walls, and that'll get rid of the vibes that are there, I would think. But you know, then you could do some Mexican hat dance or whatever they call it, where you're jumping up and down and screaming at them and scare them away. I'm going to ask Carol. Carol, what do you think of that? You think Beto needs to be, is somebody you'd like to interview for your upcoming book?
No.
That was pretty definite. No.
Oh. Uh-uh.
And you know, this is the first time
he has a technique. Apparently, he can chase away the bad guys.
He's gonna have to do some meditation and some. He may have to go get some Ghostbusters.
Well, apparently he's a Ghostbuster. He just needs to scream and they poof, wham, gone. Okay, listen, we just got a couple more minutes left.
It reminds me of a story. My friend's mother was, a colleague of mine, her aunt was psychic. And so she inherited some of that psychic ability herself, but she didn't want it. One day she was in the house, and you know, you can hear all this stuff falling down and the lights coming on and off, and she just yelled, "You don't pay any rent in here, you have to go and she would say that often, and it would go, "So you don't pay any rent in here, you gotta go," because she didn't want the abilities. Her aunt had them. And she had them too, but she didn't, you know, she didn't want to deal with it. And she would tell those spirits in that house to get out of there. You're not paying rent here. You got to go.
Well, I never heard such a story as that before. Did it work?
Yeah, it worked, because that's what she would tell them. And she said it adamantly and often, and they got out of there. She said, "You don't pay any rent in here. You don't belong in here. You got to go." And she said it worked. So she's just lucky, I guess.
No, I see a little similarity here. She got angry and she started yelling at them and said, you know, "You don't pay rent, you can't stay." I mean, that's pretty definite, parameters why you shouldn't be there. The same as Beto, when they tried to manipulate his phone, he got angry. And Doug said it himself, that the key to that is getting angry. I think what it does is you overcome that sense of fear, and when you're not afraid, they can't influence you, or they're not attracted to you, because when you fear something, that gives somebody prominence or power or control over you, because you're you're afraid. I mean, you think you're weak, you can't do anything about it. They're in control, they're over and above you. But when you get angry, the roles are completely, you go from prey to predator, and immediately and shifting the roles. The weak spirits, souls, astral travelers or whatever they are, they don't have any, as you just said, they didn't pay any rent here. They don't have any right to be in this dimension and in your house. And that's the one thing I teach, is that they do not, negative influences or ghost people, do not have the right to be here in the world where we are. Only we do. We're spiritual beings in a physical body, and this is the dimension, our home, the place we're supposed to be. Spiritual entities, beings, ghost people, they belong someplace else in the higher realms or different dimensions. They don't belong here, so they can't stay. They don't have any rite of passage. They cannot be here. And so by telling them to go away, they have to go. A story I once, and I'll tell this, I tell this every year. There was a lady realtor, and there was a large house that came available because the owner, an elderly lady, passed away, and the house was being sold by her family as part of their inheritance. And the realtor, who was a sensitive person, meaning intuitive, came to this building, and it was just new on the market. They were almost one of the first people to come and look at the property, and she brought a prospective buyer with her, another lady about her the same age. They're in their late 30s. So as they came to the door, the realtor put the key in the door, opened it up, took the lockbox off, and went to walk in, and she felt two hands push right in her chest and shoulders, pushed her back out the door. And she was shocked. And the other lady who was with her, seeing this pushback, they both became frightened, and they dropped the lockbox and ran away. They took off. And so somehow a little time went by. They called me up, and the realtor came over and asked for what I thought my impression was. And I said, well, didn't you not tell me that this place was just recently put on the market and the lady had passed away in the house who owned it, a very well-to-do person? And she said, yes, but I felt somebody, that invisible, just push me. I think it was the devil or evil spirits. And I said, no, it was the lady who owned the building, and basically you were breaking into her house. You opened the door without her permission, and she pushed you out the door. And they went, oh, my God, you know, that's what it felt like. She pushed us out the door. And I said, the reason being is she doesn't understand or realize that she's passed away. She's still in the house right now, or at that point in time. And they said, oh, my God, what are we going to do? You know, we want to sell the house. The lady that looked at it was very interested, you know. And I said, well, what you do is you, before you go in the house next time, or if you open the door and you feel a presence, you say, basically, madam, you've passed away. You know, you are dead. Look up. Look for the light above you, or see something sparkling. Look up for a relative or a grandma or grandpa or your parents. Look up, look up, and they'll go away. And I said, but what we're going to do right now is we're going to say a prayer, which we did, which was for this person to realize that they were no longer with us in physical form. And I tell this story every year because it's one of the most demonstrative of ghost possession. You know, you've heard ruling from the grave when people write out their, when they write their wills out and they give away their inheritance, they're kind of ruling from the way their grave. They want to make sure people take care of the money and the assets, and they want the family to do certain things with their property. Well, this was sort of a practical ruling from not the grave, but from the next dimension. And the solution to that, my friends, is to, you can be polite or you can be authoritative. I would choose to be polite and tell them that the person is deceased, to look up to see some light in the heavens above because they're earthbound, and or to think of some relative that's passed on before them. And you might see yellow sparkly energy. You might see something going up in the air. which is usually their soul transitioning from the earth to the higher dimensions. And I've seen that once myself in a building I was in one night. Everybody kept saying, somebody's in the basement. I can feel a presence. You know, somebody's walking around here. I can feel the chill in the room. That's another noticeable quality, is that that when you feel somebody's, you know, haunting, if you will, the place, sort of stationary or visiting or in the place, you feel a little chill going by you. Or you might see an apparition or a light or a piece of fog go by. Those are other little things that can happen. But when you do that, when you see that or do that, you just say the prayer and the person will make the transition. And not only is it to your benefit here in the world because of the property, the place that you're living in and that you don't want to be disturbed, it's also to their benefit, because it releases them. They are earthbound and they don't know it. And 100 years can go by in the twinkle of an eye because there's no time on the other side. And so that's my Halloween advice about if you happen to encounter a landlocked, earthbound spirit, and you can do them a good service by, wake up, you're passed away, my friend, I'm terribly sorry. Think of somebody, your parents or grandparents, and they just, as soon as they do that, they look up and in the heavens above, the family's waiting for them. They can't reach down and pull them up. They have to make that step themselves and come to that realization. And that's why when you see stories of ghosts, they're always looking down. They're always looking at their feet. It's because they're connecting by looking at the ground and the earth. But if they look up, they break that connection. What were you going to say, Carol?
Well, what about the concept of if you have poltergeists, you have these angry or prayful spirits that don't want to move on, you know, just because you tell them that, you may have to do that for a while, because just because you tell them that doesn't mean they're going to go, because some of them have been living in that house for 30 years, 40, and they don't want to go.
Yes, but they haven't been told to go. And they're playful because they, like Casper the Friendly Ghost kind of thing, they're playful because they want you to, in a nice way, realize that they're there. Nobody's paying attention to them, so they're kind of doing playful things. Others are trying to get you to acknowledge they're there. I once was half asleep in the morning and the light in my bedroom flicked on and off 3 times. And when it did, I said, is that you, grandfather? This was my father's father, whom I never even thought of for the longest time. And as soon as I said, is that you, grandfather, the light stopped flicking on and off. So sometimes plates dropping off a shelf, or, you know, a spoon bouncing off the counter on the floor, lights flickering, hearing noises like a little thump on the table or something like that, or clicks or flashes of light, white light or a blue flickering light up in the corner. They're all trying to get your attention and saying, here I am. And all they want you to do is acknowledge that they're there, because they're wandering around. Nobody's paying attention to them. They're lost and they're lonely. So those are the playful kind. The other kind that are mischievous, they're angry. Like the lady that pushed the realtor out the door, and the one that was flinging Beto's phone around the room, they're angry. And so what was the response that worked? You get angry back and you tell them off, and then they realize, oh my gosh, you know, they don't belong here.
Well, that doesn't work all the time. Sometimes they try to possess you, and you have to call for some help sometimes. Sometimes, you know, they're just not good spirits. You know, they weren't good spirits when they were, some of them were alive. So,
well, that's a good point. Some people that weren't, some people who previously lived here were pretty nasty people. And so they don't know about the higher dimensions or realms or heavens above, which is where they're supposed to go. No matter how bad somebody is, there is a dimension that fits them or suits them. I would say if they're motorcycle guys and they're bad guys, when they pass away, they go to a dimension where all the motorcycle and bad guys hang out, if you will. if they're teachers, then they go to where all the teachers would hang out. They give it a very simplified way of saying there are these many mansions, many rooms in my father's house, many mansions kind of thing. It means exactly that. The people who have the same, I'm going to call it interest, the same beliefs or whatever, they go to where other souls who are similarly or in accord with them, and that's where they hang out, if you will, until they decide to come in next time and work on their own evolution and spiritual development. So no matter how bad they are, there is a place for them to go. They just don't know that they're dead. They don't know where to go. They're lost. They're roaming around the planet. They're looking for a pathway. And the answer, the direction that they need to take is up. And as soon as they look up, it's like the heavens open up and they just get like drawn up into this other dimension. They make the transfer I don't even know what the word would be there. They are simply attracted to these other dimensions. But until then, they're walking around looking down, and until somebody tells them that they're dead, or until they come to that awareness that they're dead, they continue to live in the ever-present moment. So when you have people who are mischievous and houses are haunted for a long time, that means that what can we call them, the hauntee or the haunter, I don't know what they are still looking for some way to get to where they're supposed to be. And what they only know is here and now. And so by telling them, get out, go away, that's a shock to their system, perhaps. It makes them look up. It makes them look for help. I don't know, but it does work.
It doesn't work all the time, Dr. Cottrell, because sometimes you have to go get some help, because sometimes that's a relative
just,
that didn't like
Carol,
you in the first.
Carol, I just made an announcement. It always works.
Okay.
Now, I'm going to add to that to say, if you don't sincerely believe that you have the authority to tell these people to leave, if you're half and half in your mind, you're not certain, then it won't work, because they still have the upper hand, because you really don't believe, that is to say, not you, what you're, that the people that are with authority speaking to these mischievous entities, they don't believe that they're going to be listened to. The one thing you cannot do is be afraid, apprehensive, back down, or look away. You got to look them square in the eye. And every time I've done one or met somebody that's had an attachment, I look and I can see them. And when I can see the shape or the face or whatever, they're afraid of me and they leave. They come back later when the person is looking for them the next day. They say, gee, I wonder where my pal was who was telling me what to do every 5 minutes. I hope they don't come back. Gee whiz, I hope Dr. Cottrell's right. They're not going to come back. I hope they're not around the corner. I hope they're not under my bed. What are they doing? They're attracting the person by all these, I hope, I hope, I want, I want, I don't, I don't. And so the solution is, even those, if you're listening to this, my friends out there tonight, since we're talking about Halloween, if you're hearing voices, you may not be crazy. You may not be delusional. You may be actually hearing things. It's called clairaudience, and you may be in touch with a benevolent guide that speaks occasionally, gives you a word, gives you a three-word phrase. They never, ever admonish you or criticize you. They never talk in sentences. They never tell you what to do. They would say something like, those Wednesday night meetings were good. That's it. That means, you know, you used to go someplace, maybe you went to a speaker's bureau or you went to a Bible class or you went to some meditation group on Wednesdays and you hadn't been there for a while. And so you hear those words, those Wednesday meetings were very good. And you know exactly what they mean. It's a little guidance. When you hear a voice that's telling you to do things, crazy things, things you wouldn't want to do, when they're berating you and criticizing you and belittling you, that's not necessarily a, let's say, guiding spirit, guiding voice, angel. It's one of those minds that are down in the cellar, and you just need to tell them, go away. and pick up a Bible, light a candle, put some incense around the room, a nice perfume or something. All these props help to reinforce your emotional commitment or belief. And when you tell them to go away, they go. If you mean it and you are sincere and you speak with authority. And, of course, you can call on the God Almighty and the angels and whatever spiritual deity that is meaningful to you. Just got a minute left, so what up? Go ahead.
I got one more. Now, it's the picture called The Beautiful Mind, Ron Howard made it. And this particular guy had mental illness. And the psychiatrist that he was going to, I think it was, told him, we can't fix your mind. So what he did, what the patient did is, it was a girl, a boy, like a girl and a boy, they were teenagers, and there's this little bitty girl. And so what happened, it's a little bitty girl or a boy. And what happened was, they would come to him and they would talk to him all the time. So when the doctor told him they couldn't fix his mind, he started thinking. He said, these people never change their clothes, and this little boy never grows up. So when they came to him and started talking to him, he stopped talking to him. And that's how he fixed his mind. He, you know, he had mental illness, and he just stopped talking to those people that kept coming to him. He would just ignore them, and eventually they just went on the way. And the picture's called The Beautiful Mind.
Okay. All right, Carol. Thank you for that. That was a good summary to the quote. We got one caller in the 905. I'm going to take this quickly before we go. Hang on, Carol. Thank you very much, Beto and Carol, for being part of the show. I'm just going to go to this person in the 905 and say, hello, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hello, you're on the air. Hi.
Hello.
Yep. First name, where are you calling from?
Oh, I'm David, and I'm calling from the Shaw.
Hi, David,
Ontario,
from
Canada.
The Shaw.
Yeah.
Good to hear you.
David from the
we
Shaw.
We just got a couple of minutes left, David. Good to hear your voice again.
Yeah.
You got a comment
for
the show? Go ahead.
Yes. About hearing voices. I remember working at this church in Hamilton, and we had a flood there. And the night before, I had a dream. We were trying to find out where the water was coming from, and we couldn't find where the leak was coming from. So I had a dream, and I was working in the washroom, and there was about 7 washrooms down there in the basement of this
mm-hmm.
church. And I was working on the sinks, tearing apart the sinks for the faucets. And so the next night, I heard a voice. I was going to go to bed. I was tired. It was about 1 o'clock in the morning. And I heard this voice, go and you will see. And I said, I'm tired. I'm just going to go to sleep. But it wouldn't go away. So finally I had to put my clothes back on, drive an hour and a half to Hamilton. And I went down to the washrooms because this is where my dream was telling me the night before. And lo and behold, I saw water bubbling up from underneath the showers. Yes. So I said, great, that's
wow.
it. I'm going back home. Next day I went back, and I tore up all the showers, 7 of them. Yeah.
Where did you think that voice was coming from? Obviously, it was guiding
you.
Well,
it was certainly a helping voice, that was for sure. So I imagine it was coming from one of the angels.
And, of course, it was actually very correct as you went there and proved. So wonderful.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And, of course, the important thing is you paid attention.
Yes, yes. Well, I had it happen before, right? But I didn't pay attention, and I wish I would have. So I learned my lesson the first time.
Okay. Well, that's a really good story. I mean, for people listening to this, Dave was being told something here that was urgent, was important. It was to protect the church, and he had the wherewithal to go through the struggle of getting dressed and driving an hour and a half and verifying what was going on. So mm-hmm. it's interesting that that was communicated to you, And mm-hmm. what kind of voice was it? Was it like a booming voice or a lady's voice or?
It was just a soft voice. Yeah, it was just a soft voice and pleasant. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's wonderful, Dave. For everybody listening, you too can learn how to do these things. At the end of the show tonight, this is not the end of the journey. This is just the beginning. And what we're saying here tonight is hopefully opening some doors to you. We're having a little fun about All Saints Day and the ritual of Halloween and the different places it's celebrated in the world. And as we come to the end of the show, we're talking about real life circumstances on how to deal with these interdimensional beings that seemingly do give us some trouble from time to time, as we always do on Halloween. And then Dave's story tonight is like spiritual guidance from above. Now, Dave, have you had other experiences? We don't want to pry or anything like that, but just for the audience, have you had any on a regular basis, I guess you would get notification? But...
Yeah, I do. Like sometimes I'm going, the light turns green, I'm going to go through the light, and all of a sudden I hear, like, look to your left, honk the horn. And I say, yeah, I better do that, because there's a lady coming right for me, talking to her passenger. Not even seeing me, but yeah. So things like that.
Wow.
Yeah. And when I was little, too. Yeah, there's other stories, too, when I was smaller. So, yeah. But, mm-hmm.
Well, give us one quickly. Yeah. You know, we got a minute or two.
Oh, okay. Well, we were about 5 miles from our house. I was with a friend. And there was another friend with us, too. And he disappeared somewhere because we were at a pond and we were going through this tunnel under this railroad tunnel, and before we got to the other end to go out of the tunnel, I just stopped. And my buddy says, why are you stopping? I said, because the other guy, Bruce, he's up above us, and he's going to throw stones at us when we come out. So I said, just wait here. My buddy was getting anxious, right? He says, well, what are we waiting for? I said, shh, go ahead. Just a few more minutes. And when I say run. And so we ran. And sure enough, he was up above trying to throw stones at us, but he couldn't hit us.
You outmaneuvered him. You were light on your feet, right? Very good.
Yeah. Hmm.
Well, I'm going to remind you of a story because everybody, Dave knows me and Doug Bentley, and he's a good guy, he's an amazing fellow. One day I was in Detroit. I was trying to find my way I was trying to find my way. I was in Detroit. I was driving around, and I was a little mixed up. It was about 6:30 in the morning. Everything was dark and black. I was disoriented, trying to find my way back to the bridge to come to Canada. And Dave calls me up on the phone, on my cell phone, and he said, what's going on? Do you remember the story? What was the details on that?
Yeah. I called you up, and you were driving in Detroit, and you were quite amazed that I called you at that time of the morning, and especially when you weren't expecting any calls at all. But I had a notion to just call you. Mm-hmm.
And you were, I think we were wondering... either to give me directions or you wanted to know why I was in distress. And basically I was driving in circles because I didn't know which way was east or west, north or south.
Yeah.
And so, yes, my friends, Dave called me up, woke up out of his dream or sleep or meditation or whatever he was, and he called me up. Yes, I was surprised for somebody to call you at such wee hours in the morning since I'm in another country. And I was in a little distress, but I did find my way back somehow. And as you can see, we made it home. But anyway, that was quite impressive, Dave. And I never forgot that. I was more surprised that you called me up at that time in the morning than the idea that you called me up because you knew I was in a little distress. But there you go, my friend. That's a true story. So.
Mm-hmm.
Well, listen, thanks for calling up tonight, Dave. We really appreciate it. If you will, I'm going to talk to Paul for a minute. Can I put you in the, we call it the green room, and you and Doug Bentley can have a talk. There's a meeting coming up, something. I'm going to put Doug in the green room, and I'm going to put you in the green room, and you two guys can have a chat for a minute. Okay. So, Paul, there's an interesting story about Dave. I was really, truly shocked. I was in Detroit, and I was kind of headed towards Port Huron, and I wanted to head towards the Ambassador Bridge. And he didn't call me up out of the blue, so I was... I truly was surprised. I said, it's 6 o'clock, 6:30 in the morning. What are you doing calling me? It was amazing. So anyway, we're going to go to the top of the hour here. We got 5 minutes left in the show. The buttons seem to be working fairly well tonight for me. I think it's because there's only one, as you know, our intention was to see if the control room can be controlled by one instead of two places. That was my thought. But the other side is, as you know, God bless Blog Talk. Maybe they have fixed a problem that we have been asking them to fix up very nicely the last little while. And what I'm thinking is the next test will be to get you to get back in the same role as before. So before, as we leave tonight, any last thoughts, Paul, on what a wonderful time we're having here, and Halloween coming up. A great show tonight. Any last thoughts?
Yeah, well, it was a good show, and we forgot the Day of the Dead, which is mainly celebrated south of our American border. And I was in San Antonio some years ago working, and I noticed once that people on their front porches had hung little skeletons. And I thought, well, this is really strange. Why is everybody doing this after Halloween? I thought, well, it's left over from Halloween. No, it was in preparation for the big celebration of the Day of the Dead, which they celebrate November 1st. And it basically is a happy celebration for all those souls who have passed. It is the time of year that they celebrate the dead. And I thought that was fascinating that it centers around Halloween, but it is a different twist on what we celebrate, or the way we celebrate with sometimes the macabre. They celebrate it with happiness and celebrate the lives that had been with them before they passed. So okay. Day of the Dead is
let me bring Doug and Dave back in. I'm going to bring Doug and Dave back in here. Okay, so they should be able to hear us now. Go ahead.
Turn Dave off. We'll have a conversation.
Yeah. There you go, Doug. You're joining the conversation. Now go ahead. Finish the thought.
Well, we're just talking about the group of seven and the painters.
No, Doug, we couldn't hear you in the Paul was talking about you were talking to Dave in the green room, so I'm bringing you back in the conversation. I hope I didn't shut you off, you and Dave. But anyway, we're just going to end the show here with Paul talking about, what was it called, the Day of the Dead?
Day of the Dead, yes. So it's a Hispanic heritage celebrating the souls who had passed. It's a way that they celebrate in a positive way rather than a spooky way that we use for Halloween here, at least on this continent. In Mexico and South Texas, they celebrate the Day of the Dead the day after Halloween, and they celebrate it in a positive way, honoring those souls who had passed. And they put up little decorations and, as I was saying, hang little skeletons on their front porch and that sort of thing. But they celebrate it in a positive way.
Okay, that's just the end of the show. I wanted to say thank you, Dave. I've got your mic open here. Thank you very much for that enlightening story and remembrance of some of the amazing things when you were told what to do. But I guess the most amazing thing is you actually acted on it.
Yeah, well, I learned my lesson the first time I didn't act on it. So, yeah. So the second time it would happen, yes, I would pay attention.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to turn Beto's mic on. Beto, your mic is coming on. I'm going to say thank you very much for being on the show tonight and telling us your newfound talent, how to chase unwanted intruders in your house, get them, especially if they're trying to snip your sneak your phone away from you. So thank you very much for being on the show, Beto.
Thank you for having me on. You guys have a good night.
Okay, and we'll see you next time on the next show. And we'll go to say Carol. Good night, Carol. Thank you very much for being on the show and contributing to the show as you do many times. It's great to have you. And I want to say good night to you. Got your mic open and
yeah.
Say good night.
Good night.
Okay, thank you, Carol. Again, Paul, looks like we have some of the Poulter guys here on the Blog Talk kind of under control. And I'll also let Doug say goodnight as we end the show. Doug?
Good night, everyone, and may you have a very happy Halloween and an All Saints Day, a very blessed All Saints Day.
Yes.
Okay, and the Day of the Dead as well. So thanks,
yes.
Doug.
That's right.
And Paul, a last word?
Well, that was my last word. We get to celebrate two holidays if we want to. We can celebrate Halloween, actually three, All Saints Day, of course, which I observed every year growing up in the Episcopal Church, and we can celebrate Day of the Dead if we choose. So there you go. We've got three.
Okay, well, I'm going to say goodnight, everybody, myself. May you have a wonderful celebration, no matter where you are in the world. The Blog Talk Radio Show is a global international radio show. The Global Village reaches out to all our friends and the community. We remind you that we have Sunday services. Go to the internationalschooloftheprophets.com and you can get the Zoom link and attend our Miracle Transformation Virtue Prayers and Healing Services. Everybody's welcome. Again, internationalschooloftheprophets.com for more on that. And please go to my YouTube channel, Douglas James Cottrell on YouTube. You can get to the links on my website, douglasjamescottrell.com. But go there and please subscribe. Do me a favor. It helps as more and more followers or subscribers come to the YouTube programs. And also our Wake Up Call, Wake Up podcast, I should say. They're all doing very well. We have some top-line speakers, and the interviews are in-depth, and they're with some very famous and, I would say, successful people that can help you with some advice, direction, and experiences that they've had. And also on Instagram, we should be there as well. And we look forward to you, again, liking us, or subscribing, or giving us, ring the bell, or give us a star, whatever it takes to help us become more popular as we advance our mission of bringing hope into the world. And we look forward to next time. Saying goodnight, my friends. Remember, this is not the end of the journey at the end of the show. The journey continues. Your advancement and your success is our pleasure, and we'd love to hear about what happens to you in the many, many different ways we have on social media, including Facebook and other sources. So this is Douglas James Cottrell saying good night, and I hope you enjoyed the show. On behalf of our producer, Paul Hughes, my co-host, Doug Bentley, and our wonderful guests that we had tonight from Beto and Carol and Dave here, as we say good night and God bless.
Thanks for listening to the Global Village Online Radio Show with your host, Dr. Douglas James Cottrell, and co-host, Doug Bentley. Brought to you by MindPro Publications and Productions, a division of Douglas James Cottrell and Associates, Incorporated. Copyright 2023, Douglas James Cottrell. No part of this broadcast audio may be reproduced in whole or in part without expressed written permission.